This morning, as we continue a short series on wrestling with worship, the questions of what it means to gather as God's people, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 26. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. If you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged, the spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace, as in all the congregation of the Lord's people. And jumping down to verse 39. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. This is God's word. Will you pray with me? Father, open our hearts and minds to receive all that you'd have for us. As we consider what it looks like, what it means to be your gathered people, may you strengthen us. Fill us with your spirit. Give us conviction. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, last week we wrestled with the question, why do we gather? And as we did that, I sought to make the biblical case for you that first and foremost that we are called to gather as God's people. In fact, this is exactly what God has been doing throughout redemptive history, gathering a people to himself. We can go back into the Old Testament and see that the nation of Israel was the beginning of this peace. While there was without a doubt, individual promises that God made to people, and promises that he made then and now still, those individuals were all meant to be part of a larger whole, a nation of God's gathered people. God always worked, or always has been working, to set apart a people for himself, to make them distinct, to make them different from all the nations around them. And in this case, as we think of the Israelites, it was their many festivals, their rituals, and their temple worship and synagogue worship that very often set them apart from the nations around them. Now this, in an obviously modified format, is what still sets us apart even today as God's gathered people. But what is really happening when we come together as God's people? This is what we intend to dig in, what I intend to dig in this morning as we try to understand what or why God calls us to come together, to gather as his people. Now, as we dig into this, I think one of the best ways that we can begin to understand this is to start looking at some of the biblical images that we see throughout the scriptures of what God's gathered people are called to look like. This gives us perspective of what this gathering is, and I think we would do well to sort of wrestle through that. Matt Merker expounds on them in his book, Corporate Worship. And so my goal this morning is to share some of the points that he makes, as well as my own, as we dig into this. So let's do that. First, the first image that I want to start with this morning is that our gatherings as God's people is meant to reflect or be the image of an embassy in this world. When we come together as God's people, we are an embassy, and you, as the individual members therein, are ambassadors of God's kingdom. The Apostle Paul points to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when he says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." The image of an embassy is important for us to keep in mind for a few reasons. First and foremost, it's a reminder that just like an embassy doesn't set their own rules, right? They don't set their own agenda, neither then do we as the church, nor do we get to set the agenda for our gatherings either. We come together, we keep in mind that it is God's agenda, God's rules. God is the one who calls us into his presence, and therefore it is his terms then that we are called to exhibit. He has given us those terms most fully and clearly through his word, through the Bible. It is the message that we are called as God's people to proclaim, right? Because it is his word to us. It is the means by which we are called to discern how then we are to approach God. And it is the thing that we are called to focus on as well. When we use the scriptures as our guide, it allows us in many ways to step outside ourselves and center on the one that we are called to magnify. That is the one whom the scriptures point to, namely God himself. Now, secondly, the image of an embassy reminds us also that we as God's people, as his gathered people, are an outpost. We are a representation of a nation or a kingdom that is not part of the country or nation that we are placed in. Matt Merker uses the analogy of a tailgate party at a soccer game to sort of drive this point home. And one day he was biking past this stadium, and he could tell that one of the teams that were playing was Honduras. He could tell that because there was this group of people out front at a tailgate party, and they had sort of occupied this space and almost made it as if it was Honduran soil. And you looked at the people, most of them were painted in the colors of the Honduran flag, and they were blasting traditional Honduran music, and you could just smell the food cooking off the grill that was that traditional Honduran food. Right, this amazing atmosphere as he biked by sort of drew him into the joy that they were experiencing, the fun that they were having, and it quite frankly made him want to know more about Honduran culture and especially try the food. This is a major part of what the nation of Israel was always called to do as well in the Old Testament. It's one of the reasons that God worked to set them apart as his people. They were always meant to be this beacon, this outpost, or this representation of God in his kingdom and his rule therein. And the point was for others to be able to see that, to see God in their midst and then be welcomed and drawn in. Now here today, the church, we maintain that role today. We are God's embassy. We are his ambassadors individually. At the gathering of God's people, the church is meant in many ways to be a preview or a glimpse, even if a very flawed one, into God's future kingdom. of what God's presence is meant to look like as he rules and reigns over a people. And so this has implications then on what our primary gathering is meant to look like. It has implications on what worship is and what it means and how it looks. Let me share a few of these points that Matt Merker shares in his book. First, it means that we are called and gathered as ambassadors, not consumers. Now, this has important implications as we think about how our worship looks and what we do. But there's very often this temptation in our culture, especially today, to make worship an event or even focus on those who maybe don't yet believe. Often we talk about worship as being boring or uninspiring. But in the end, it's not necessarily meant to be any of those things. And don't get me wrong, I hope when you leave here on a Sunday morning, I hope you find something interesting or maybe even amusing. I hope you leave this place with a bit more inspiration than you came with, right? That's a hope. The reality is if not, I'm not horribly concerned. Because our goal is to have an encounter with the living God, to honor him and to bring him glory. That doesn't mean that those goals are not opposite of one another, right? But ultimately, if I'm bringing God glory and honor, then our work is done and I can sleep well at night. Jonathan Landry Cruz, in his book, What Happens When We Worship, makes the case that worship is the most important thing that you will ever do. He says, in fact, if we assume that it is boring, it is often because there is something lacking in us. Right? We may be missing out on something. We may not fully understand what is going on, or quite frankly, maybe there is a certain sin in our life that is clouding our judgment or our understanding. And we'll get into these details of this a bit more next week. But in the end, we always need to remember, right, that when we come together as God's people, when we gather to worship, we are experiencing something supernatural. We are encountering the God of the universe, the God who created everything, the God who created you, who created me, who gave us life and restored us to right relationship with himself through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so if we keep that in mind always when we engage in worship, make no mistake, yes, it is the most important thing you will ever do. Merger makes the point also that we don't go to church to worship. We worship because we are the church. In other words, worship is integral to our identity. And as the church, we must do it because we are God's people. It is essential to the Christian life. Without thinking this way, and quite frankly, we'll still have to fight this battle no matter what, but if we don't begin to change our thinking in this way, we will constantly fall back into this self-centered trap that causes us to think of how a service may have served me, or will often ask the question, what did I get out of this? Now, don't get me wrong here again. It is not wrong to ask questions like this. But the reality is if we don't check ourselves, we will always fight against this battle, and we will so often lose the true purpose then for what we come here for in the first place. And that is the truth that worship is literally in our DNA when we have been born again in Christ. Because the reality is, when that has happened in your life, you must worship. It's no longer an option. Now, there is more imagery that we find throughout the New Testament that speaks of what our gatherings are like. We see it referred to as the gathering of God's people as a holy temple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul once again says, "Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" Now, as we initially read this, it seems as if the Apostle Paul is speaking to an individual Christian in this verse. And in some sense, don't get me wrong, he is. But these are individuals that are meant to be part of a gathering, that is, the church. Remember, 1 Corinthians, this letter that I'm quoting from here, is written to the church of Corinth. Not a single individual, but the entire church. It is a letter that was meant to be read aloud as part of their gathering. In fact, in the Greek, the word "you" that is translated as "you" when it's a plural "you." When he says, "Don't you know that you yourselves," right at the beginning of this verse, this is a plural "you." It's tough always to translate these into English because we don't have a true equivalent, unless you're, of course, part of the southern United States. And then, of course, you might say "y'all" or something to that effect. But at any rate, the Apostle Paul is referring to the gathered church here, to the people of God, reminding them that as they come together, yes, and as individuals, but both, they are God's temple. Now, this is huge, and if you think about this, it's a reminder to us that just like Old Testament times, God promised that His presence would indwell His temple. And so, yes, you as individuals indwell God's Spirit in your lives, but also there is something special about when we come together as God's gathered people. The word is proclaimed to you and it's meant to challenge you and to change you. The songs that we sing together as God's people are meant to encourage you and to fulfill that longing in your soul to sing praises to the God who created you. This is something that's also meant to help you in your relationships as well. It seems now more than ever we are more and more divided along political and ideological lines. But when we come together as God's people, all of those lines are meant to be erased. In some ways, you might think of this as like a sports team as well. And think about this, when the Oilers are doing well, and fans come out in droves to watch them play. I know, of course, that bugs you diehard fans, of course, but that's what winning does, right? It brings people out of the woodwork. As those people gain interest, you have someone who might be from the opposite side of the political spectrum, or they might live in a completely different socioeconomic world, but in those moments, you're unified. None of these things matter. All these things are erased because greatness brings out the unity in people, right? Because you want to unify around something great. Well, here's the thing: is God's people, as His holy temple, We come together to witness and participate in something far greater than any sports team. And friends, we are unified by more than just some winning streak in any random season. We are unified by the Spirit of God, a Spirit who has given us rebirth and who has joined us to God through the person and work of Jesus Christ so that we can be restored to right relationship with the God who calls us. Ultimately, what we see here is when we are gathered, there is an opportunity for us to serve and to be served as God's temple, God's holy temple. Right? We have the opportunity to offer a sacrifice of praise, as the scripture tells us, to be God's priests. All of you, each and every one of you are God's priests. A priesthood of all believers, and you share in the opportunity then to sacrifice and to encourage one another as you give of yourself to the people around you. And so as we think about that then, the real action of God's gathered people, as Matt Merker says in his book, is not on the stage or up front. It's in the pews. Amongst you is people. Right? There's no special grace that flows from me or from this altar that I am not, at least as a priest, enabled to give it to you in some sort of specific way. Right? Each and every one of us, as God's people, those who have submitted themselves to Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to receive and express God's grace to one another as God's holy temple called to be his people. Finally, as we see in the New Testament, God's gathered people, we are referred to as a body. Now, this might be the image that many of you are probably the most familiar with. And once again, the Apostle Paul uses this metaphor in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, when he says this: "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." Now, the portrait of the body is a portrait that shows that there is unity in the diversity of the body of Christ. I might be good at teaching, preaching, whatever the case, but quite frankly, I might just stink at organization. As one body, we come together and complement each other and build each other up as we use our gifts and skills to fill gaps and help each other out. This is partly what we see in our text this morning as well. Paul says, "What then shall we say, brothers or sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up." And each of us come, and hopefully we want to share the gifts that God has given us as we come together. I'm not a musician, and so I have to rely on many of you for your wonderful gifts and talents that we have in music. But none of you are preachers, or at least that I'm aware of. And so you have to rely on me to share that gift and ability with you to hear God's word proclaimed. And yet each of us are using our gifts, our skills, the abilities God has given us to build up the body of Christ. Not for selfish gain, but so each of you, as members of this gathering, the church can encounter God and grow in your relationship with Him. It also means that as we come together, we can edify each other in ways maybe we don't even know or couldn't even imagine. Any given week, I may have had a great week, but then maybe one of you come in that I know who have been struggling with something over the past couple of weeks or whatever the case. My interaction with you may in turn encourage you and build you up. But it also helps me because I'm able to engage God by remembering you in prayer throughout the week. And the opposite is true as well. You might see my struggle and look for a way to help. Or maybe you are just simply encouraged by seeing me there, knowing that despite whatever I might be dealing with, I've chosen to come in and intentionally engage in the worship that God calls me to do. Friends, these are images that remind you that our gatherings have both a vertical and a horizontal dimension to them. In other words, they are first and foremost an opportunity for us to engage in our relationship with God, giving Him the honor and the glory that He is absolutely due. But there's also an aspect that helps us or reminds us that we are called to engage and build each other up when we come together. We are a body meant to share our gifts and build each other up as we walk this long journey together. We are God's holy temple, indwelled by His Spirit and united through Him to bring a living sacrifice, to give up of ourselves for the world around us and each other, as well as offer a sacrifice of praise to the God who saved us. And friends, we are an embassy full of ambassadors that will receive the message that God gives and then carry forward that message, the message of a king. God has called us together as a community. And I pray that we would always be built up by all He has given us and receive the purpose He has called us to. Let's pray. Father, You are a God of grace, a God of goodness, a God who calls us, but doesn't just simply call us. Lord, You gift us, You challenge us, You challenge us to share those gifts so that Your body might be built up and we might be a holy temple, an embassy that carries Your message, Your gospel forward for the world to hear. We pray for Your grace as we do that. Lord, we ask that You would pick us up when we fall. Strengthen us. In the name of Jesus, amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and join me in singing as we respond to God's grace. Blessed be You.